It's here and now. Rush season just wrapped up at California Polytechnic State University in San Luis Obispo, and for the first time in 3 years, freshmen were invited to shop around for fraternities and sororities. That's because 3 years ago, Cal Poly joined 80 other universities in banning freshman recruitment during their first marking period, a decision made after freshman student Carson Starkey died during an initiation ritual in which he was told to drink beer, rum, and 151-proof liquor. David Glovin of Bloomberg News has been covering this story. We're going to hear from him. But first, to Joseph Colombini, a Cal Poly student body president. Last year, as interfraternity council president, he led the fight to end deferred recruitment with the help of alumni from the North American Interfraternity Conference, which represents 75 national fraternities. So, Jason, why? What is wrong with delaying recruitment if it can potentially save young lives?
Some people believe that it's the silver bullet. From what our findings were, that it wasn't necessarily the silver bullet. The chapter at question, that Carson Starkey passed away in Sigma Alpha Epsilon, had a very long history of problems here at Cal Poly. So I think most of that is what led to Carson Starkey's death, because we have 35 houses here on campus. In the last 5 years, we've only had 10 houses with any kinds of possible violations. To say that this deferred recruitment policy would be the thing that solves all problems, I think, is a mistake.
So you're saying that fraternities should be judged on their individual records. SAE has had tremendous problems. In fact, I believe Cornell closed their chapter after a death there. But you mentioned something else, which is that you looked at the size of the chapters and you thought that they were getting smaller.
What we found was before the implementation of deferred recruitment, there was a very even spread in chapter size from about 25, 30, all the way up to about 85. Very even spread. After deferred recruitment was implemented, the top five houses exploded in size up to between 100 and 130, and the remaining chapters stayed the same size or declined slightly. What I heard from some of the presidents of the smaller and medium-sized houses, and my house as well, was that during that first quarter, freshmen were coming out seeing the social party scene of fraternities instead of seeing the values that the organizations had to give.
So you're saying that this deferred rush allowed freshmen to look around a little more and realize what the biggest houses were and want to join them.
Exactly. And that's not what the goal of fraternity recruitment is. That's not what the goal of fraternity is in any way.
David Glovin, again, a reporter at Bloomberg News, who took a deep look at deferred rush. You do mention something called, I think it was social suicide, that the houses feeling that if they delay, they're going to lose out, as we just heard, on getting these young freshmen to join them.
My colleague John Heckinger, who I wrote the story with, did visit some fraternities, and they spoke about the need and the urgency to recruit freshmen. But that sort of goes back to the larger issue of the fraternity world, which is that the fraternity industry sees recruitment as the way to get new members, generate revenue. The head of the fraternity industry's trade group calls recruitment the industry's lifeblood. So you see the industry fighting efforts across the country to restrict recruitment.
Tell us more about the industry. What is it comprised of, and what else is at stake? Dollars and cents. What else is going on here?
It's an industry that generates about $185 million in revenue just to the national organizations. It has lawyers who represent it, and it has a lobbying arm, as we've reported, and it fights for what it believes in. It has a number of arguments for recruitment, one of which is a legal argument that colleges don't really have a right to interfere with students' freedom of association, and students should be able to join whoever, whenever they want.
You looked at some research used to recommend delaying recruiting until the end of the freshman year. What was that research?
There's research suggesting or indicating that students will perform better academically if they wait at least a semester till they get their feet on the ground. A number of academics also have found that students do need that time to just adjust to this new existence of college life before they decide whether to join a fraternity. In terms of safety measures, our data shows that freshmen are clearly the more vulnerable when you base it on the number of student deaths.
And Jason Colombini, and maybe you can speak to that, why these rituals? Why forcing 18-year-olds to drink so much alcohol? There have been so many deaths. Why does that have to be a part of it?
You know, it's interesting you mention that. Well, I guess First, I could say that Zeta Beta Tau, my fraternity, is a non-pledging fraternity as well nationally. And that was a big concern for me, was whether I was going to be forced to drink or have to drink, because I abstained from drinking until I turned 21. So I went through the whole process and joined my fraternity, spent a year and a half of it completely abstinent of alcohol. So while that does take place, I'm sure, at other universities or perhaps in other chapters, it's definitely not the standard for all fraternities out there.
But we know it is for so many. Why not devote efforts to, you know, okay, you wanted to overturn the deferring, but why not overturn those kinds of rituals?
Ultimately, a lot of those rituals are not allowed. There's risk management policies on campus that don't permit that. So it comes down to better enforcement from universities to make sure that these things aren't happening. I mean, I believe that there's many fraternities, if not majority, that this doesn't happen with. However, it's obviously the few out there that are the ones that either are caught for doing this or make it onto news stories regarding it. But from my experiences and from talking with other members, alcohol isn't a part of the process. Sometimes I think that can sometimes be turned into a myth in a sense.
Well, David Glovin, what did your reporting show? We're reading about couches covered with tarps and so-called vomit rooms. Is the drinking ritual a myth?
When you look at the number of fatalities, alcohol or fraternity-related fatalities in recent years, you do see quite a large number. You see 10, 11, that number of fatalities, and fraternities all over the country. So it is a broader systemic issue. Individual campuses may crack down, but then the issue rears its head somewhere else.
Well, and what about Carson Starkey's family? You tell us that four frat members from SAE served some time and that the Starkeys sold their business managing apartment buildings and now have a nonprofit group. What do they hope to do, and how are they responding to what's happening at the school where their son died?
Sure. The Starkeys, since Carson died, have established a alcohol poisoning awareness group called Aware, Awake, Alive, which is now in operation on all California state campuses, including Cal Poly. And they want students to understand the warning signs of alcohol poisoning, and they're very active on this front.
Well, and Jason, Carson's mother said to Bloomberg, "I find it troubling that fraternities are advocating against our efforts to try to save lives by pushing back on the deferment." What do you say to her?
I mean, it's a difference of opinion there. I think that more other than not, it's the safe drinking that Aware Awake Alive is promoting, and I'm a huge proponent of Aware Awake Alive, both on my campus and the California State University system, that I think is the issue at hand. I mean, that is what's going to save lives, not deferring recruitment by one quarter.
Jason Colombini is a senior at Cal Poly and led the effort to end deferred recruitment. He's a member of Zeta Beta Tau. David Glovin, a reporter with Bloomberg News that took a deep look at the topic. Gentlemen, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, your thoughts. Delay rush a year, give kids a chance to mature, or will that hurt smaller houses? Let us know, hereandnow.org. Meanwhile, high schoolers are applying for college. Post your essay at facebook.com/hereandnowradio, and we'll have an expert give you some feedback later this week. You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Charles River Apparel. Over a quarter century of creating apparel for corporations and athletic teams based in New England and family-owned. Learn more at charlesriverapparel.com. And Constant Contact, offering small businesses online tools like social media, event, and email marketing from one login at constantcontact.com.